From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice for me to meet you again, Amanda, for the next 60 minutes in our program. And today we are going to present you some segments beginning from news, commentary, and of course other information and Indonesian songs. So make sure to keep listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. Indonesia strengthens comprehensive strategic partnerships with Australia. Indonesia seeks United States cooperation in Indo-Pacific context. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reaffirmed the Indonesian commitment to strengthen comprehensive strategic partnership with Australia. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, bilaterally President Joko Widodo welcomed the ratification process of Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnerships Agreement, IACEPA, in the Australian Parliament. It was stated by President Joko Widodo while meeting with Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison on the sidelines of the 35th Asian Summit in Bangkok, Thailand, on Monday. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Morrison welcomed the commitment of President Joko Widodo, head of the Press, Media and Information Bureau of the Presidential Secretariat, Erlin Swastini, mentioned that Morrison hoped it can be finished at the end of this year because there has been no difference of point of view. Indonesian President Joko Widodo raised the issues of hazardous and toxic waste in the 14th East Asian Summit held in the Impact Arena, Notaburi, Thailand, on Monday. The President conveyed efforts to prevent the shipment of hazardous and toxic waste. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said. Minister Retno Marsudi accompanied President Joko Widodo to the meeting that was attended by 18 countries. It was previously reported that several Asian countries had received containers filled with waste, which include hazardous and toxic waste. The amount of such waste sent to Indonesia up until October this year had reached 2,194 containers. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, Minister Retno explained that the Indonesian Customs and Ministry of Environment and Forestry examined 822 containers, after which 374 containers were returned to their countries of origin. There are another 210 containers containing raw materials of recycled paper and plastic mixed with hazardous and toxic waste that are in the process of being sent back to various countries such as France, the Netherlands, Slovenia, Belgium, England, New Zealand, Australia, Spain, Canada, and Japan. Indonesia has invited the United States to establish concrete cooperation in implementing the Asian Outlook on the Indo-Pacific that encompasses the four main sectors of maritime economy, sustainable development goals, and connectivity. The statement was made by Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi, who was representing Indonesia at the 7th Asian U.S. Summit in the Impact Arena, Notaburi, Thailand, on Monday, as quoted by Antaranus Agency. Minister Retno Marsudi said the government spoke of the U.S. having a financial stream through the International Development Finance Corporation that is used to fund partnerships in the sectors of infrastructure, digital connectivity, and energy in the Indo-Pacific region. The Asian home to a population of 647 million is the third largest economy in the Indo-Pacific and the fifth largest in the global stage. The minister also remarked that Southeast Asia had a better political stability and economic growth, as well as the bigger population belonging to the productive age group as compared to other regions. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin highlighted the need to enforce the applicable law in Indonesia in the face of a boundless information. Currently, the world is almost without barriers. Information is very easy to obtain, and changes are taking place so fast in the world. The law enforcement apparatus is demanded to be more prepared and alert. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Vice President Ma'ruf Amin in his remarks while opening the Third Indonesian Constitutional Court International Symposium in Bali on Monday explained that laws must be upheld firmly. In the face of extensive dissemination of information, particularly in the digital era through technological development, he viewed the role of the Constitutional Court as being important. The Constitutional Court, as a state institution, must be able to furnish big ideas by taking into account constitutional aspects when the government is designing a policy. He expounded that great ideas in the midst of rapid development are urgently required. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has vowed to fully support the priority program of President Joko Widodo during his second term of office. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was responding to the Indonesian government development programs unveiled during a bilateral meeting with President Joko Widodo on the sidelines of the 35th Asian Summit at the Impact Exhibition and Convention Center in Bangkok on Monday. Chief of the Press, Media and Information Bureau of the Presidential Secretariat, Erlin Swastini, in a press statement explained that at the meeting, the President unveiled the priority programs of his government in the next 5 years, including the development of quality human resources, the continuation of infrastructure development, and the simplification of government regulation and bureaucracy reform. Meanwhile, President Joko Widodo said that he would like to focus on two issues, namely cooperation in the development of infrastructures and the development of quality human resources. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuga Kusumawati.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, after 7-year negotiation. Well, listener, the text of the Joint Leaders' Statement on Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, was agreed at the third summit of RCEP conference held in Bangkok, Thailand, on Monday night. Based on the release of the head of the Press, Media and Information Bureau of the Secretariat of the President of the Republic of Indonesia, President Joko Widodo affirmed that the negotiators have got to find the best solution. He also stated that the negotiators have worked and negotiated to reach common agreement for 7 years. Indonesia hopes that the RCEP negotiations can be completed soon. In fact, President Joko Widodo said that the Joint Leadership Agreement could be followed with the signing in 2020. Indonesia's strong desire is based on not only as a key position of initiator and developer of the RCEP idea, but also as a country coordinator. If completed, the RCEP will become the largest free trade area in the world, which consists of half of the world's population and accounts for nearly 40% of the world trade. As noted by Prime Minister of Thailand, Prayut Chaocha, the RCEP will help ASEAN manage changes and uncertainties in the region, especially in terms of trade tension between ASEAN important trading partners. For Indonesia, the RCEP partnership, which involves 10 ASEAN countries and is supported by Australia, India, Japan, South Korea, New Zealand, and China, consider a big challenge or golden opportunity for market access for leading export products. The major challenges and opportunities are aimed at the entry of investment flows with high value-added industrial sector that utilizes the region as an export destination and source of input for emerging industries. If the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, can be immediately signed by 2020, Indonesian small and medium enterprises' products are expected to have high competitiveness and be able to penetrate wider markets. The small and medium enterprise is one of the points included in the RCEP. another opportunity is quite open for Indonesian superior products from the agriculture and fishery sector to penetrate the markets of the countries that have agreed with the pacts of the RCEP. May Indonesia succeed in bringing all the negotiations that had been carried out for 7 years. The phone of the signing of the RCEP pacts, which are expected to be a stimulus for economic growth, trade, and investment. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, for the next segment we present you today in history, we will give you information about events happening on the day of 5th November. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History, over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start from an event on November 5th, 1994, when George Foreman became the oldest heavyweight boxing champion after beating Michael Moorer. When George Edward Foreman was a kid, he had a lot of problems and dropouts. As a teenager, Foreman joined in a program of President Lyndon Johnson's Jobs Corps and discovered his hidden talent in boxing. After adult, Foreman was known as a world boxing champion twice, who was considered as one of the greatest boxers in boxing history. He won a gold medal in Mexico Olympic in 1968 and became professional boxer in 1969. Foreman became world boxing champion in heavyweight WBA and WBC class on January 22, 1973 by beating Joe Frazier TKO at the second rounds. This made his name skyrocketed as new star in heavyweight class. But Muhammad Ali defeated Foreman in Kinshasa, Zaire, or Congo. Foreman decided to retire from boxing in 1977 following the defeat from Jimmy Yant. But in 1987, Foreman returned in boxing and surprisingly succeeded to beat Michael Moorer KO at the 10th round in WBA and IBF version on November 5, 1994. Therefore, Foreman became the oldest boxer throughout history who succeeded to become the winner of the World Heavyweight Boxing Champion. And the next event is that in 2008, Barack Obama delivered his first speech after winning the general election. Barack Hussein Obama was the 44th U.S. president. Early Obama was a driving figure of people in Chicago before getting his law degree. He worked as a civil rights attorney in Chicago and taught constitutional law at University of Chicago Law School starting from 1992-2004. He was three times to delegate the 3rd District at Illinois Senate starting from 1997-2004, but he fell to the stage of the U.S. House of Representatives in 2000. In 2004, Obama received national attention when campaigning to represent Illinois at U.S. Senate through his victory at the Democratic Party preliminary election in March. Obama won a majority of delegates in the Democratic Party preliminary election to become presidential candidate. He defeated candidate from the Republican Party John McCain in the presidential election in 2008. On November 5, 2008, Barack Obama conducted his first speech after winning general election, and he was the first person of African American who occupied the position. Finally, Obama was inaugurated as U.S. President on January 20, 2009. And the last event is about National Love Flower and Animal Day. The commemoration is aimed at enhancing awareness, protection, and preservation of national flower and animal. It also intends to grow and to remind the importance of flower and animal in residents' life. The commemoration of the day began for the first time in 1993, based on Presidential Decree No. 4, 1993, which was directly signed by Indonesian second president Suharto. To preserve flower and animal means to protect biodiversity. Flower and animal as part of diversity are important asset for fulfillment of humans' basic needs and guardians of ecosystem balance. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Up.
That was a song titled Kaulah Segalanya or You're My Everything by Clarista. You're still with me, Amanda, on Voice of Indonesia. And next, we are going to give you information in our program, My Indonesia. Stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. It's good to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. Well, the title of My Indonesia today is Pertamina and Rosneft continue collaboration on the construction of a Tuban oil refinery. Well, listener, PT Pertamina Rosneft Processing and Petrochemicals (PRPP) has signed a contract agreement with Spanish Tecnicas Reunidas S.A. (TRSA) in Moscow, Russia. On 28th of October, the signing was conducted by project coordinator of the new grassroots refinery and petrochemical Tuban from Pertamina, Kadet Ambara Jaya, finance director of PT PRPP from Rosneft, Pavel Vaquero, and TRSA director general Miguel Faratinas. As reported by the website kemlo.go.id, the signing was also witnessed by deputy of coordination in the Ministry of Energy, Natural Resources and Environment at Coordinating Minister of Economy Affairs, Monty Giriana, and at interim charges, Deputy Ambassador of Republic of Indonesia to the Russian Federation and Republic of Belarus, Aziz Nurwahyudi. The signing is the follow-up cooperation between Pertamina and Rosneft in the construction and operation of new oil refinery, integrated with the new grassroots refinery and petrochemicals complex in Tuban Regency, Java. The PRPP is a joint venture between Pertamina and Rosneft with Pertamina ownership of 55% and Rosneft 45%. The contract agreement signed between PRPP and TRSA focuses on the implementation of Basic Engineering Design (BED) and Front-End Engineering Design (FEED) related to the project. The Tuban NGRR project will produce national fuel with Euro 5 quality to improve national energy independence and security. The oil refinery in Tuban is estimated to have production capacity of 300,000 barrels per day. In a meeting with Pertamina delegation at the Embassy of Republic of Indonesia Embassy in Moscow on October 29, 2019, the Indonesian ambassador to the Russian Federation, Republic of Belarus, Wahid Supriyadi expresses appreciation for the signing of the contract. Ambassador Wahid said that the project was a realization of President Joko Widodo's visit to Sochi, Russia in May 2016. Ambassador Wahid also stated that this cooperation proves that Indonesia and Russia have close relations. In 2020, both countries will commemorate 70-year diplomatic relations. He hopes this project might support Indonesia's independence in energy sector. In addition, Ambassador Wahid Supriyadi hopes that this project can be completed in 2025, and this project will become increasingly important as one of the strategic projects and national priorities of the Indonesian government. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Pernah terlintas tuk tinggalkan kamu jauh dariku kasihku, karena aku milikmu, kamu milikku, separuh nyawaku hidup bersamamu. Berdua kita lewati meski hujan badai takkan berhenti,
takkan berhenti.
Sehidup semati, mentari pun tahu ku cinta padamu. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, aku kan selalu ada temani hingga hari tua. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, setia akan ku jaga kita teman bahagia. Cinta dari ujung kaki
hingga ujung kepala. Aku ingin kamu, kamu yang ku mau, belahan jiwaku, kamu masa depanku. Berdua kita lewati, meski hujan badai takkan berhenti, sehidup semati. Mentari pun tahu ku cinta padamu. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, aku kan selalu ada, temani hingga hari tua. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, setia akan ku jaga.
You've just listened to a song titled Teman Bahagia or My Happy Friend by Jazz. And for the next segment, we will take you to explore Indonesia, Indonesian culinary and Indonesian tourism destinations in our program, Indonesian Wonder. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Manore Art Festival 2019 held from October 12 to 20, 2019. Like previous years, there were many different art and cultural performances every day, among others dances, regional music shows, carnival parade, as well as traditional sport competition. All of the events held at Water City Square, Kulon Progo. Interestingly, at the peak of Manore Art Festival 2019, there was also performed the phenomenal art of Maduris people, namely Uldaul art, which was showed lively. In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you to this typical art of Maduris people called Uldaul art. Uldaul is percussion art from used goods such as drum, large jerry cans, bamboos, and many others. It is a dynamic music performance. These instruments are arranged in very certain replicas such as moving car and crown giant barong head. The giant head accommodates dozens of people who beat the instruments. Uldaul art originally started from Maduri's habit, who like to utilize used goods. The goods then being created become instruments, so that those instruments sound ethnic tones and very distinctive. Earlier, the art was played in the month of Ramadan to wake people for sahur or breakfast for fasting. The music has developed rapidly in 1990s, which combined various genres, beginning from dangdut, gambus, qasidah, and regional music. In its development, Uldaul art becomes carnival parade and festival in Madura. The art is quite popular to the whole regencies and cities on Madura Island. In addition, now Ul Daul is also competed by regents in Madura. A placement in the competition is from the aspect of beauty and the way how to play it. To form a beautiful rhythm usually uses some Indonesian instruments such as peking, kenong and drum so that it creates more dynamic sound. The competition does not only show talent of Maduris in playing music, but also to perform dances to enliven the competition. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
That was a song titled Menua Bersama, sung by Enda and Reza, or in English, Growing Old With You. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia, and for the next segment, we will take you to learn Indonesian language in a fun and easy way. Make sure to keep listening to our program, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. This Mari Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Overseas Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development and Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Semoga Makin Sukses, or in English, literally, May You Be More Successful, or I Wish You Much Success. Next, I will give you an example of a conversation titled Semoga Makin Sukses, or in English, I Wish You Much Success. At Joko's house, Tony is having a birthday. Dinda, Joko, and Endah gave a surprise and then congratulated Tony, wished him a happy birthday, and expressed his hope and prayer.
Selamat ulang tahun, Tony. Semoga kamu makin sukses.
Terima kasih, Joko. Aduh, saya makin tua.
Tidak, kamu masih muda, Tony.
After listening to this conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, which is Semoga Makin Sukses. Semoga Makin Sukses, which means I wish you more success. I will say the words twice and you can repeat after me. Makin. Makin, which means more or increasingly. Semakin. Semakin, which means more or increasingly. Sukses. Sukses, which means success. Bijaksana. Bijaksana, which means wise. Dewasa. Dewasa, which means mature. Tua. Tua, which means old. Selamat ulang tahun. Selamat ulang tahun, which means happy birthday. Semoga kamu makin sukses. Semoga kamu makin sukses, which means we wish you much success. Aduh, saya makin tua. Aduh, saya makin tua, which means ouch, I'm getting older. Kamu masih muda. Kamu masih muda, which means you're still young. In the dialogue, you heard Joko said, Semoga makin sukses. Semoga makin sukses, which means I wish you more success. Joko saw that Tony was successful and he hoped that Tony would be more successful. Therefore, he uses the word makin. Makin, which means more. Semoga kamu makin sukses. Semoga kamu makin sukses, which means I wish you more success. The word makin, which means more, is used to declare something that is increasing. The following are examples for the use of the word makin. Makin, which means more or increasingly. Semoga kamu makin sukses. Semoga kamu makin sukses, which means we wish you more success. Saya berharap kamu makin bijaksana. Saya berharap kamu makin bijaksana, which means I hope you will be wiser. Aku makin tua. Aku makin tua, which means I'm getting older. Dia makin dewasa. Dia makin dewasa, which means he is more mature. In everyday conversation, you might hear someone say, Saya semakin tua.
saya semakin tua, which means I'm getting older. The word more and more, semakin, which means more and more or increasingly has the same meaning. However, the word semakin is only used in conversation. The following are a few examples. Semoga kamu semakin sukses. Semoga kamu semakin sukses, which means we wish you much success. Saya berharap kamu semakin bijaksana. Saya berharap kamu semakin bijaksana, which means I hope you get wiser. Aku semakin tua. Aku semakin tua, which means I'm getting older. Dia semakin dewasa. Dia semakin dewasa, which means he is more mature. Before ending, let's speak in Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to an example of the conversation once more.
Selamat ulang tahun, Tony. Semoga kamu makin sukses.
Terima kasih, Joko. Aduh, saya makin tua.
Tidak, kamu masih muda, Tony.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to learn more about Indonesia. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different kinds of topic. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Saja lihat anggunnya, tak ingin rasa aku mencinta, dan tapi bila jauh darinya tak mampu aku melupakannya. Mungkin memangnya salahku yang tak pernah mengerti cinta tak mengenal arti sebuah angkuhan. Bila saja lihat dirinya, ingin hati tak jatuh cinta, dan mungkin dia tahu semua. Semakin aku dibuat resah, mungkin memangnya salahku
There was a song titled Arti Sebuah Keangkuhan, titled sung by Lingua. And you're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we will present you our program Music Corner. Stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today, I present a Malayan song to you entitled Sri Deli, sung by Nur Ainun. Composed by M. Nasir, the song Sri Deli consists of rhymes of poem. The lyrics of the song tells about message of life. The lyrics of the song are sung repeatedly by Nur Ainun. The song Sri Deli is included in one of Malayan Deli song which was hit in the 1950s. Nur Ainun was born in Stabat Langkat, North Sumatra on November 7, 1935. She was a legendary singer of Malay Deli songs in the 1950s to 1970s. Her hit songs were Sri Deli, Dayang Senandung, Keluhan Jiwa, and Bunga Dalam Taman. In addition to singing, Nur Ainun also composed dozens of Malayan songs. During her glory, along with Sukma Murni Orchestra, she was often invited to sing by President Sukarno, even by Malaysian Prime Minister Tengku Abdul Rahman. She also ever conducted a concert in Jakarta and some neighboring countries such as Singapore, Malaysia, and Australia. Let's listen to the song Sri Deli, sung by Nur Ainun. Enjoy the song.
Putus lagi sama,
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you very much for joining our broadcasting, and you can also follow our broadcasting by joining our website at www.voinews.id. Don't forget to visit our social media like Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, and Twitter at @voindonesia. I'm Amanda. Thank you so much for having us, and also don't forget to have a lovely and nice day. Stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia.